WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. We're learning more about that mass shooting at a Walmart in Virginia.
Police in Chesapeake, Virginia say the Walmart supervisor who shot and killed six co-workers left behind what he called a, quote, death note, in which he blamed others for mocking him. Investigators also say he bought the gun the day of the shooting. They also say the shooter had no criminal record.
CBS's Jim Krasula reports the gunman who died at the scene of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound claimed he was harassed and that he was pushed to the brink by a belief his phone had been hacked. Millions of Americans have been anxious to get out there and shop on this Black Friday, but as CBS's Michael George tells us, they're not exactly being careless with their money.
A global study by Oracle found 60% of shoppers plan to spend less this holiday season.
They're going to be more careful and more specific about how they shop, where they shop, and what prices they buy items at.
This woman in the Philadelphia area bought exactly what she was looking for.
iPhone 14 Pro Max. That's what I came here for. I cannot get it online. It's back ordered to like January 9th. So they said they might have some. And on Black Friday, I came in, got my phone.
In Nantucket, Massachusetts, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden attending the annual tree lighting ceremony, adding a festive touch to this Black Friday. The lighting ceremony was held in front of the town hall. President Biden says this is no time to walk away from Ukraine. CBS's Holly Williams has the latest.
Retired General Ben Hodges commanded the U.S. Army in Europe. He's also critical of progressive Democrats in Congress who wrote a letter urging President Biden to use diplomacy to somehow end the war before hastily withdrawing it. Others in the U.S. even argue that Ukraine should give up territory in return for peace.
If you do that kind of a deal with Russia, can you trust them?
Absolutely not. And then I would ask people, so which part of their country or their home state are they willing to give up? If Russia said, hey, look, we just want a little bit of Florida, or let us have New England, and then we'll promise not to use nuclear weapons.
Meanwhile, missile strikes in the Ukrainian city of Kherson have killed at least 11 people. These latest attacks come 2 weeks after Russia withdrew from the region. NASA's Artemis 1 Orion spacecraft has fired its thrusters to slow it into what's known as a distant retrograde orbit of the moon.
We're continuing to hear good call-outs from flight controllers monitoring the burn. We've reached the end of the burn. The engine has stopped firing.
NASA is testing how the spacecraft performs further away from the Earth than any human-rated spacecraft has gone before. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Dell Technologies' Black Friday event has arrived with select deals on top tech to power business productivity. The savings start now with up to 50% off select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, including free shipping on everything. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for Black Friday deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
This week at Staples, save 60% on...
Thanks for your business this year.
Save 60% on...
Happy holidays, Nana!
Save 60% on...
You are cordially invited.
Right now at Staples, you can save 60% on custom-printed holiday cards and invitations. So you can say, thanks for a great year, happy holidays, or come on over, all for less. For everything you need printed this holiday, go to Staples, the working and learning store. In-store and online, ends 12/3. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
If you're an area employer, the next 30 seconds can be key to your growth and success. On-the-job training programs are available right now to assist with selection and cost to that new employee your business needs. Reimbursement for training costs, customized training plans to fit your needs, and continuous support when you need it. You hire, you train, we help pay. The first step is to contact us. Call the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center at 715-422-5000 and ask about on-the-job training programs for area employers. We'll help you build the workforce you need.
Olivia, from Washington. laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Clear skies tonight with a low of 30. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, high of 54. Lows dip down to about 30. Tomorrow night, cloudy. Much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Sunday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 41.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Obnoxious. I find so many angles of this obnoxious.
I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
I shouldn't have said it like that.
In a case like this, squishing would actually be fun.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Good morning. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin in Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Madison. I'm your host today, Philip Morris, filling in for our wonderful Kristen Bry, who is hopefully somewhere on some sand and sun and not what we have here in good old Waukesha.
Yeah, that was the plan. I think they're doing beachy things.
I hope so. I hope they're doing wonderful, whatever beachy things that you can possibly do on a day like today. What are we at? A whopping 24 degrees.
Yeah, it's cold.
Jane, how are you?
I am excellent, Philip. I am so glad to see you again. And I told you before we got into the studio, we worked together once before.
We did.
And it was like the first couple shows that I produced for Kristen.
Yes.
And I was so nervous and so overwhelmed, I barely have any memory of that whatsoever.
Well, good, because that nervous and overwhelming feeling, that's what I have right now.
I hear you. So I feel it. You're going to be great.
We're going to do it. We're going to survive. We're going to thrive. And we're going to have some fun here on this, what I'm going to call a very random Friday of goodness. We have no guests other than yourself and myself, truly. And we're going to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, lots of things to talk about.
We got lots of things to talk about. Lots of stuff happening around the state, around the country, and, you know, life goes on. So we're going to keep doing those things. And, you know, quick intro here for anybody that missed me the last time. I would say Kristen and I go way back, but we really don't. What's funny is, in this small world of Wisconsin, my wife and Kristen go way back. They played basketball back in high school in Madison years ago.
Seriously.
And it's the world is only so big.
Yeah, it's teeny.
Here I was thinking that I had this, you know, wonderful celebrity friend and, you know, radio and podcast host here, and I was bragging all about it. And then she goes, no, I've known Kristen forever. I'm like, well, go ahead and just deflate my balloons already. I guess I'm nobody special. I'm just another random person.
Oh, then. That's not true.
But no, it's all right. It's all right. But we are going to have fun. Like I said, we're going to talk about some things here in this hour. We're going to get some things right off the bat here. I said some things that we're seeing out here. Lots of changes, lots of stuff happening there in Washington. Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
And I know you know what's going on.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you. It's going to be an interesting time in Washington. You know, I'm seeing these things and what they're talking about, you know, her successor and all the things that are changing and going on. But I can't help but think we had so much fun all these years. Nancy getting stuff done, you know, as they say, smashing heads and taking names and going about her business only way she knows how. And I don't think she's stepping out and going to disappear. You know, she's a lifer when it comes to politics and in the good old D.C. So she's still going to be very behind the scenes and getting stuff done. But we're going to talk a little bit about a gentleman that's, he's not new on the scene, but Hakeem Jeffries, who's apparently a potential lock to succeed Nancy as leader of the House and really going to be, as I say, leader of the people in some sources. Democrats are poised and looks like they're going to pick him as their successor, but we'll see what happens. But I think if she does relinquish leadership, she's had a stronghold for more than 20 years. And I said, so he's got big shoes to fill. And so I think that, you know, he's going to have to be the next face of the next generation. And he's got to be big, bold, and do all the things that have to be done to continue pushing us forward.
It's just going to be so interesting, Philip, because Nancy had such a particular style. You know what I mean? And she wielded a hammer, but she did it wearing pearls and heels. Mm-hmm. And she was never yelly, even when she was perhaps perturbed. And Dan Schaefer and I talked about this yesterday. If you were part of her caucus and you were going against her, and she would probably call you into her office and she would tell you how disappointed she was in you, which would be like worst thing that you could hear. And so her successor, it's going to be a tough role to fill.
That's right.
You know?
And, you know, and I think about that, you know, it's not like this is a unknown. You know, Hakeem Jeffries has been around. You know, he's a big name there in between Brooklyn, Harlem, and all over New York, obviously. He's got incredible political experience. You know, he's been there for the District 8 there since 2022, but he was the chairperson of the House Democratic Caucus. You know, he's on the Budget Committee. I think there's not a committee that he hasn't been on. So when you talk about his legislative experience that between the committees, you know, the Budget Committee, the Judiciary Committee, the Antitrust Subcommittee, Commercial, Administrative Law, you name it, he's touched it. He's been apparently highly successful. And then when you get on there looking at the list of caucuses and the former committees, that list goes on and on. So I am very excited to see where we go, what we do, and the type of leadership. If he is the one, where we go with that?
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I know of him, but as you said, I am not terribly familiar with him. Whoever it's going to be, again, they've got their work cut out for them.
That's right.
She was able to accomplish some pretty remarkable things over the course of her career as Speaker. And I also give her an enormous amount of credit for stepping down.
That's right. You know, they talk a lot about, and I say the theys, it's all the talking heads from left to right on, you know, stepping to the side and letting the next generation come forward. And, you know, Nancy is no spring chicken, but she's not out to pasture just yet. She's got a lot of things that I'm sure she'll get done in the private sector, as well as, you know, along the lines, back and forth, helping out in the political arena. I said, but Hakeem Jeffries is also, he's not some 30-year-old, he's not some 40-year-old, he's 52.
Yeah.
He's very seasoned. He had a very strong law background. He's very educated, you know, come through some great education systems there in New York. And he's, again, I tell people all the time, you cannot have a disconnect with the next generation, but that next generation has to have a middle ground. So if you're talking about those millennials and those Gen Zs and where they're going to strive and aspire to be next, I think they've got to have that torch gets patched down from Pelosi to potentially Jeffries. And then I think he's going to be in that lens and has some time there where he's going to be thinking about where do we go next and who are we grooming for the next spots? Not 20 years from now, not 30 years from now, but here over the next decade, because between now and what do we got? 2023 coming up. Between now and 2033, there's a lot of things that are going to change in our world. You know, we're going to talk about some of those here today, but there's a lot of things that are going to happen, and you're going to have that civic leadership from the bottom to the top that really cares about where we're going.
I've got a bunch of sound, Philip, from Nancy Pelosi, different clips from her over the years. This is Nancy Pelosi talking to MSNBC about what it was like when she was first elected to Congress.
It's been with great pride in my 35 years in the House I have seen this body grow more reflective of our great nation, our beautiful nation. When I came to the Congress in 1987, there were 12 Democratic women. Now there are over 90, and we want more. The new members of our Democratic caucus will be about 75% women, people of color, and LGBTQ. And we have brought more voices to the decision-making table.
Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry, that was during her speech announcing that she was stepping down yesterday. You know, it's great that we went from 12 to 90. That's not that many in 30 years.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny, it said at the beginning of that, and I had to chuckle a little bit. I said, she came in 1987. I got here in 1982. And so I'm like, Nancy, whether I knew it or not, at those younger ages, you know, when you're in elementary school, middle school, even high school, unless you're a part of student government, and you're really paying attention or your parents are really paying attention. You don't think about who's in place, you know, as you're coming, you know, really into the world after you've had your first steps, after you've had your, you know, your first whatever.
Right.
You turn in 5, 6, 7, 8. I think about it now. I've got a 7-year-old. And so potentially Hakeem Jeffries or whoever's next could be here their entire life. This is all they know. And the things that they do, say, the rhetoric that they create, the legislation and the policies that they pass will really affect them. So that makes me, as that parent, I have to think about those things very closely of, oh, my gosh. Okay, we really have to make sure we get it right because I worry day and night that I'm going to screw it up for the kids, let alone somebody that's far away in D.C. doing their other things, making policy and things that are going to affect us here in Wisconsin, or if we moved out to California, doesn't matter where we are. I think those are ones where we got to have a lot of faith in those people, and we got to see the changes, like you said, going from that small number to a much larger number. It's not that much in 30 years.
No, it's not.
So we want to make sure we're seeing those things happen a lot more, being intentional with those pieces, the people that we put in place and the people we vote for.
This is one of my favorite sound clips, Philip. This happened on January 6th when the attack was going on at the Capitol, and Speaker Pelosi was told that then President Trump wanted to come to the Capitol, and this is what she had to say.
They told him they don't have the resources to protect him here. So at the moment, he is not coming, but that could change.
Oh, he comes, I'm going to punch him out.
This is all I know. I would pay to see that.
I've been waiting for this, for trespassing on the Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
Secret Service said they have dissuaded him from coming to Capitol Hill. They told him they don't have the resources to protect him here.
Yep, she's going to punch him out.
Well, and tell me how you really feel.
And she was asked about this. This, I believe, is the cut from MSNBC, if she really would have punched him.
On the day of the riot, you said that if he led the rioters and came up to the Hill, you would have punched him out.
That's right. I don't even like to talk about him because it's really a tragedy for our country.
But you did say you would have punched him out.
I would have punched
him out.
Tell me about
your anger.
I said I would have punched him out, I would have gone to jail, and I would have been happy to do so.
Would you have done
for
it?
For our country. He wouldn't have had the courage to come to the Hill. He's all talk.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what.
Ding!
Oh, it is what it is. You know, and I actually believe her. I believe that she would have done it. And, yes, she would have uphold the, you know, let the law do its thing.
Yes.
She would have gone to jail. She would have been the most popular inmate in the history of politics. I don't discount that.
But I it's hard to disagree with her on whether or not that person would have had the intestinal fortitude to actually do something like that.
That is a fact. And you know what? Call it what it is. I said she's going to call it out. And you know what? He could say what he would have, could have, should have done. And, you know, we know all the names that he's called, all the women around there. So I think it's one of those, take it. It's one of those F around and find out moments.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we got time for maybe, wow, we got time for maybe one more. This is her interview on 60 Minutes. The year before, this is 2006, she was elected as speaker in 2007.
Making the, here we call it the marble ceiling. This makes glass look like nothing. This is a marble ceiling.
Right.
The Democrats are going to.
And breaking it, she says, would help all women.
Onward! I believe if I become Speaker of the House and in that highly visible role, show the American people that women know how to use power, that I think it helps all women in the political process or whatever field they're in, but I think it will be a plus.
All right. You know, and she's right. It will be a plus. And again, we may not see someone that's like her in a long time, but you know what? The legacy that she's going to leave behind, the breadcrumbs and the seeds that she's planted with these young legislators, when you think about those AOCs and all those, it's only going to make them stronger for the future.
Absolutely. You can't aspire to something if you don't see your own representation, right?
That's right. Absolutely. And so if you can't see it, you can't be it. And so it sounds like we're going to be going to a break here shortly. And so we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on Civic Media Network.
I simply must go.
Maybe it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
Maybe it's cold outside.
The welcome has
how
been.
Lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at the storm.
My sister will be just.
Gosh, your lips look
my
delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon the tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette.
More. Never such a blizzard before.
Gotta get home.
But baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I
right.
Thrill when you touch my
but
hair.
Don't you see?
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
All right, and we are back. You know, I love coming back. These intros and these outros are just really, I just love these because it makes me feel like I'm a real professional in the radio world.
Well, you are a professional.
Oh, I'm here with you, Jane. I know all about your history and your past, so I know, and I'm a big fan, and it leads me right here. That music that you had coming back in with Taylor Swift, it's, you know, I don't know if you're, I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan per se. I know the songs. How about you? Do you listen to any of her music?
Very rarely. I mean, I love her upbeat stuff. I've told Kristen this. I'm not a ballady person. Ballads make me depressed. I have to be really, really, really sad to listen to a ballad. So I like some of her upbeat stuff. I really respect her songwriting ability.
I tell you, you know, she does have a way with words and that pen and paper. You know, that is definitely her weapon of choice of turning whatever she's feeling, whatever she's going through into that next big hit.
Yeah.
But I tell you, there's some obsession about it. And I talk about this when, and I have to link it back to, you know, forward to your era, to my era, and then those that are younger, the fandomonium. You know, I think about the old school stuff. You know, you talk about the Untouchables, like the Grateful Dead and the Deadheads. And then you've got the Jimmy Buffett, the Parrotheads. You know, those are a very specific group that
yes.
have outlived a lot of big name bands and big name acts. I wonder, I said, will Taylor Swift be one of those? You know, everything that's going on with this whole Ticketmaster scandal and potential lawsuits and all these things of people not getting there, and people are injuring themselves and hurting other people's to get to these concerts. And we see all the things that are happening out there with these big, big, big shows at these arenas and these stadiums. And I said, it makes me wonder, you know, these fan bases are a little scary at times.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it, and I look at the current top three out there. I said, you've got, you know, Beyonce and the Beehive. You know, she's got 113 million fans worldwide.
Wow.
But then she's got the Beehive is, you know, 17,000 strong. You can't say anything negative about Beyonce because you have to commit and take everything that comes with it, whether it's Twitter, via email. They're going to come after you. It's game over. And so, you know, I wonder, like, did the Grateful Dead, did their fans do that? If you had something negative to say or you didn't like them or you had a comment or an opinion, did they come after you like they're doing here in kind of today's world?
No, they were way too mellow.
That's right.
I'm like, what has happened? Philip.
I'm like, we've forgotten what a chill pill is, apparently. You know, and Taylor Swift, the Swifties are the same. She's got 1.4 million. And I say these are younger, and I can't say that they have, you know, jobs, or I don't know who they are,
right.
But they're of all ages, of all colors, all shapes, sizes. I said, but then she's got 12 to 15,000 strong in her Swifties that you can't say anything negative about Taylor Swift anywhere. Otherwise, they will march. They will find you. It's like the ones that are the saviors to the Free Britney crowd. And now I guess the ones with the Jessica Simpson crowd. And I'm good with that. You know, it's like, gosh, you can't have a conversation. People don't know how to mellow out. They don't know how to chill out. If you say something negative, you are on the list. And the cancel culture is way too strong. And I don't want to be shut down for anything. So I promise you, on the radio waves here at the Shaw, we are not saying anything negative about Taylor Swift. But it makes me wonder here, you know, when you get to these pieces and these places, you know, and the new one that's on there. And I don't know if you listen to her because it's a little too much for me sometimes. But Cardi B and the Barty Gang. You talk about another 137 million strong with, you know, thousands upon thousands that are empowered women. You know, when you really look at it, of all levels, this is just the new way. This is the new Rosie the Riveter behind the airwaves that have a social following that is like none other. And I said, I know that they're not in a voting block or anything like that, but could you imagine the power that you talk about 400 million strong around the world and what they could do?
That's really interesting that you phrase it that way. And there are women in country who also, I believe, have the same amount of influence. Gosh, they could take over the world.
You know, women do run the world. You know, they started it and they're here. And I know my place. I'm going to step to the side because I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to walk out on the street here in Waukesha and end up with any type of, I won't call them a mob or just a group of empowered women looking for me, you know, trying to find me outside my car.
I think the biggest issue, obviously, for any artist is their ability to reinvent themselves and change a little bit. And I don't know her music well enough to know how she has changed in the 10 to 15 years that she's been around. But you think of artists like Madonna, and I'm not a big Madonna fan, but that woman certainly was nothing if not successful at reinventing herself.
That's right.
Several times over. And I think Pink has done the same thing. And certainly Lady Gaga
That's right.
Has completely reinvented herself, and she's just remarkable. You know, they're just really remarkably talented women.
You know, and the one thing, you hit it right on the head. I said they're incredible at reinventing, retooling, and moving with the times. Mm-hmm. And so, and because there's such an age difference between, you know, those ladies, when you talk about your Jennifer Lopez, your Madonnas, your Pink, you know, even when you talk about even your Reba McEntire's and your Carrie Underwood's, no matter what the genre is, there's a gap there with, you know, the more seasoned, the veteran music and entertainer than, you know, with the younger crowd like a Taylor Swift. You know, she's not 10 or 12, but she's significantly younger than that group. I cannot comment on it because I haven't seen it, but I know she's I won't say the star, but she's in a movie that just came out, Amsterdam. And I'm actually dying to see it, but I can't find where to see it. But I've been told it's got good ratings. And, you know, I'm not one to listen to the Rotten Tomatoes and a lot of the critics out there in that space.
Right.
Because I do. I'm having no qualms about it. I like a good B movie every now and again.
Sometimes those are the best.
Those, yes.
You can have some of the best laughs at a really bad B movie.
That's right. I tell people all the time, I said, well, what good does it do me to walk around with all the best looking friends? I need to have some B-level friends too that I can hang out with. So I can, you know, not only feel better about myself, I think I'm in that B crowd. I said, but you know what? You know, you have to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. You know, I have to have some things to compare things to. And if we were all the same and we were all A's, how boring would life be?
Life would be mighty boring. You know what? I tell you, all the top companies, you see those great CEOs and all those people, those leaders, they're all the B and C students. They had fun while they were doing what they're doing. They learned more than everybody else. The A students, they are needed. They're necessary. I absolutely want an A surgeon working on me if I ever have to be in that position.
Right.
I don't know necessarily that I want the B and C surgeon that might have fallen asleep between a couple of classes here to learn what's wrong with me. So, you know, there's a place for everybody in that space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we got a break coming up.
All right. Let's take it a break here. We'll be back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin on Civic Media Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Game day. Green Bay and Minnesota. Place the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoosels at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it.
you try.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies tonight with a low of 30. Winds out of the southwest 8 to 15 miles per hour. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, high of 54. Lows dip down to about 30. Tomorrow night, cloudy. Much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Right, and we are back. This is Asgo's Wisconsin, WAUK, the Shaw, 101 FM. And I'm telling you, we're going to slow it down a little bit and talk about something I thought was, you know, incredible. Jane, how often do you fly?
Gosh, Philip, I haven't flown since the beginning of the pandemic. I let my passport expire. And,
oh, my.
But my husband and I used to go overseas at least once a year.
Okay. So you're at least accustomed to flying. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the whole taking off and landing thing is fairly common and, you know, kind of normal to you, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'm on a plane probably between 170 and 200 flights a year.
You must be a really patient person.
I'm a real airline snob when it comes to that. So I book flights. My wife always looks at me and she goes, "What are you doing? It takes forever to book a flight." I said, "Because I know the timetables. I know the aircraft. I know which routes and which flight crews are going to be on there. So I'm very particular on how I book, especially out of Wisconsin in the wintertime."
Sure.
And so I stare at those things because depending on what the weather's doing, you know, am I flying back through Twin Cities? Am I flying through Detroit? Am I going to go way down south to go through Atlanta just to get to Denver? I will sometimes. And so I don't know if you saw the news here this week. You know, there was a plane crash over here in the Pewaukee area. And I thought it was, you know, I'm glad there's all positive outcomes.
Yes.
But it was 3 people and 53 dogs.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, what is going on here? Not the puppies. You know, I don't have a dog, but I do love animals. You know, a snowy crash landing on that kind of first snow before our official first snow, an emergency landing there on the Western Lakes Golf Course there in Pewaukee. I said, this is insane. And you hear about these small plane crashes, but this wasn't like a, you know, a little private passenger jet. This was a real airline, you know, carrying dozens of adoptable dogs that, you know, just, it was just timing and you never know what happens. But as I watched that, I said, wow, you know, they're coming from New Orleans to go to various shelters and had to make this emergency landing here in Wisconsin. I just couldn't imagine, and let alone being a person, but those dogs, you know, might say, I never want to be on a plane again.
I don't think most of them are excited about flying in the first place.
I would agree.
And we actually were lucky enough to talk to the president of Haas, Lynn Olenek, and They do this. They have these flights coming in, Philip, like once or twice a month.
Yeah.
From various locations, especially down south. There's just a much different culture about spaying and neutering your animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of our shelters end up taking those. But yeah, you know, these flights are very commonplace, and they were kind of standing by at the airport waiting for this plane to come in, and then got news of the crash. The pilot, remarkable landing, could have ended up on the freeway. He could have crashed into somebody's house. This could have gone bad in so many different ways, and the fact that he was able to do that and minor injuries for everybody is astonishing.
I tell people all the time, I said, I probably more than most stare at every pilot in the airport as they're walking.
Are you looking them up and down?
Because I'm not going to, you know, in all pilots, every pilot that's especially a commercial pilot, they're all highly trained.
Yes.
They're all highly skilled, you know, whether they have military experience or not, whether they come from, you know, the best school, they have a degree in aerospace, aeronautics, and aviation. It doesn't make a difference. They're all highly trained. They have a lot of hours in the cockpit. And then also before they get into a cockpit, they have lots of training. So I trust that they are there. However, I'm going to tell you, I do like my coffee like I like my wine. You know, I like some dust and some gray hair on the sides of the bottle. And, you know, I like them slower moving because I know they're paying attention to everything. But one of the things that a fellow pastor pointed out to me here a couple of days ago, they were like, you know, it really doesn't make a difference. You know, when you see them pop out to go to the restroom, you realize quickly, it's like, who's flying the plane? There's a co-pilot, but technology is really doing most of the work. You know, autopilot is a real thing.
Yes.
It makes you nervous when you think about, oh my gosh, but I also have a lot of stock and faith in the companies that build our planes, you know, whether it's a Boeing or a Lockheed Martin or whoever it is that's behind it. There's a lot of money, a lot of dollars, and there's a lot of safety and a lot of risk mitigation that goes into doing these things. And, you know, I have to trust that our good old FAA and the you know, all those aviation experts know what they're doing when they put a plane into the air.
Definitely. And I'm going to share a story now. So if people are listening who are already twitchy about flying, you might not want to listen to this just for a couple of minutes. My husband and I were in Greece a few years ago and went to a local bar restaurant, you know, and they're all open air and everything. And we went there for a late lunch. It's about midday through the day. And there are a couple of gentlemen at the table next to us who are already well on their way to Happy Land. And they've been drinking for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I are there for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and they are still having a ball and they're pouring them down. And I get into a conversation with one of them, and he is a pilot who is flying out the next day. As long as they have 12 hours, then you get 12 hours, I think, off, and then they can fly.
That's right.
But I saw him several hours later, still heading way well into Happy Land, and all I could think of was, thank God there's a co-pilot, and thank God they have autopilot, because that happens too.
That's right. I'll tell you, you know, and for those that are squeamish, and they talk about being on a plane and being in the air is safer than being in a car on the roads, right? And I used to always think, like, oh, that's some BS. They're making up stuff just to make us feel better because they want us to fill those planes. But one of the things, especially after 9/11, you know, I started paying attention. I think everybody started to look up a whole lot more because you saw things stand still at a moment where you really start to see planes that are on their final descent really start to look at how many planes are in the sky. So I had to look this up. And here in the U.S., on average, an estimate, and this is all close numbers, but on average, there's more than 7,000 commercial planes in the air at any given time.
That's insane.
It's purely insane because when you think about those 7,000, you know, aircraft of some sort, that's millions of people. They're people above us, not on the ground, but above us somewhere, anywhere in the country. And here in the Midwest, we start to think about, you know, you always hear, oh, that's flyover country. Well, it really makes you pay attention because you're like, if you ever go to those websites like AirScanner and SkyScanner, and you see all the planes that crisscross across good old Iowa, good old Wisconsin,
sure,
good old whatever it is in the Midwest, that would make you extremely nervous. But I will say, when you go and you follow the trail, they're extremely safe. It is actually a rarity when something does happen. So it's really sometimes 1 in 50, 60, 70,000, which doesn't sound like a whole lot. But when you really break down where those planes are going, air traffic controllers have an incredibly stressful job. It's a very well-paid job, and they are the ones that are making sure everything is down to the millisecond. So when you talk about those 12 hours, I tell people, I said, I give the airlines grace now especially after COVID. And, you know, I stopped travel a little bit for the first part, but then it started to pick back up. Mm-hmm. But when you really thought about that, when you see those pilots coming through and they're saying, folks, we're delayed and we're waiting for the crew. Well, they're waiting for a crew that not that it's just capable of doing the job, but the crew that is fresh.
Yes.
Hey, do you want that crew that is, you know, got 1 or 2 hours left of their 12? Or do you want that crew that's got 6 or 7 hours left that they were able to pull from some other city?
Yeah.
That's going to give you some leeway in the event that something, you know, catastrophic, you know, heaven forbid, happens out there someplace. So I will take those delays. I will give them some grace.
Yeah, you want them to be at their absolute best. And I think, Philip, you make an excellent point about air traffic controllers. They don't get praised nearly enough. And in fact, I think Kristen and I should try and talk to one of them.
Or I think that would be cool.
Do they go to air traffic controller school?
I think they do.
Do they?
I think they do. I think there are very specialized programs for that. I have a friend he was in Texas, but they switch them around pretty regularly because they don't want them to become accustomed to one city and one style of traffic, and then that's all they know. And so they have assignments, and they get the opportunity to go to bigger airports or regional airports to see and learn different things. I've only ever known one of those. It's a funny one. It's, you know, we can all throw a stick in any direction and say, hey, I know a real estate agent. Hey, I know a pilot. Hey, mm-hmm. I know this person. But rarely do you ever meet anybody that says, I actually know somebody in air traffic control.
And it must be a very specific type of person who is willing to do that job, because you've got to be precise. You've got to be excellent under pressure, because that's like a super high pressure job.
Yes.
And you have to be flexible, changing weather conditions and all of these things, and adaptable. And I have an immense amount of respect for that. And whatever genes those people have, I don't have them.
I always think about, you know, are they allowed to have coffee? Are they allowed to go to happy hour? Because it's, you would wonder sometimes, like, these people, you know, really have, they've got it together. They are in a high stress, a very high priority position. When you see, and I said, I don't think I've ever paid attention to the tower when I leave any airport. I know it's there.
Right, sure.
We pass by it, but who's really looking at it? And probably if you're on a plane, the last thing you want to look at is the tower. You don't want to see somebody in there throwing their hands around and going crazy. So you probably think about, you know, I want to know my pilot's okay. I want to know that the ground crew and their, you know, their orange cone sticks mm-hmm. that are waving whatever signs and symbols they're doing, I hope that they're okay, because they're going to get us off the ground. And then once you're in the air, you know, the rest really is to left to air traffic control. They're going to tell you, you know, and we don't hear this as a passenger. So you're at the mercy of that person knows what they're doing, because they're giving the instructions to the pilot. And especially it comes down to when there's inclement weather.
Absolutely.
Because then you're throwing a monkey wrench in there. It's like, who can predict what the weather's going to do? You know, we've all been in the planes where it's like, folks, yeah, buckle your seat belts and, you know, return to your seats and fasten, you know, get tight and fastened up. You know, I don't know what the pilot's seeing. You know, I can look out the window and see that there's clouds and we're going through something, but they're being told, hey, go up to this height because mm-hmm. the weather is doing this. The wind is going to do this, or it's going to come out of this direction. And in a split second, they have to be able to do those things. And I know the plane, again, does a lot of that. But air traffic control, I think, really is the one that is in charge of those pieces of saying, we see the best possible lane for you. You might be going out of your way a little bit, but we need to do this because. I'll tell you a quick story here. One of my roughest flights. My wife and I were on a flight going back when we lived in Denver, and we were coming in, and the pilot had come on and told us to buckle up and sit down, and you know, we're going to go through some turbulence.
Okay.
Well, as we're going through the turbulence, it comes on and says, well, folks, we're almost out of fuel. And so, okay, now your mind's going racing, but we're coming down to the final descent. So we feel okay.
Okay.
It's turbulent. And Denver is known for, on some of their inner runways, that when you come, the wind off the mountains comes over the mountain and it smashes into the ground and it creates this wind shear. And I had never heard this term until then. Well, if you know anything about just basic, you know, flying a paper airplane, you throw a paper airplane into wind that's going straight down, it forces it to the ground very quickly. So we are within feet of landing. The wheels are about to touch the ground, and he pulls the nose up and goes back up high because he's like, there's too much pressure on the wing. And then at that moment, we heard this sound that I could tell people said that you could have heard a pin drop on this flight, and all these bells and whistles and alarms are going off. And I was like, what is happening? I look up the aisle, look to the back. All three flight attendants are in their seats, and they are in the tucked, put your head between your knees.
No.
And they're doing those things. And the one in the back is in tears. So now I'm like, this isn't good.
No.
I don't know what's happening here because he just told us we're out of fuel, but we're going back up.
Oh, my
gosh. And
so
we circled. He did it again. We tried to come down. Couldn't land. They had to take us back up, and we coasted literally on fumes, apparently, to Colorado Springs. And we landed there for fuel, and we were able to land there. But by the time we were on the ground, there were two or three people that had minor heart episodes, you know, going into cardiac arrest.
Dear.
We had a woman that had that was diabetic that started to go into shock. And it was like, oh, my gosh. So needless to say, after we got off there, they were like, now, folks, we're going to take it back up. We're going to try to land in Denver. I was like, I will walk back to Denver. I'm going to take a break. We took a break for probably about 8 months of flying. And
did
I was
you
like,
really?
Oh, my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah, I'll take a bus.
I will absolutely. You know what? I might even take a bus at that point. I'm going to hitchhike. I need something where I could be somewhat in control.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's, again, kudos to that pilot. Kudos to those air traffic controllers. Kudos to all the people who understand wind speed and pressure and all those mathy things that are required to be able to do a job like that. And if anybody listening knows someone who's an air traffic controller or anything about air traffic controlling, I would love to talk to you. 844-967-2789. You can call or text anytime. 844-967-2789. Got Philip Morris in today for Kristen Bry, who is on her vacation, and she's going to be back after Thanksgiving.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
All right. Sounds good.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news talk and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
All right, and welcome back. You know, let it snow, that song is bringing up some... I think it's conjuring some images for a lot of people around the country here with the weather that we're potentially coming into, not here in Wisconsin, but in Buffalo, New York. And Jane, I'm pretty sure you've heard and you're seeing what I'm seeing here. They're really possibly in for it.
Oh, they're going to get crushed.
Major snowfall.
Yeah.
And I always think of devil's advocate, Mike. Okay, if they get that, what could happen to us? Like, I've been here for 14 years, close to that here.
Did you grow up here, Philip?
Oh, no, no. I was brought here by a woman. I was not here by choice. I was hoodwinked, kidnapped, shanghaied, and bamboozled.
So you married a Wisconsin woman?
Yes, ma'am.
And so where did you grow up?
I grew up in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, gosh.
I said, so not
okay,
a,
so you are not, this is not normal for you.
This is not normal. And I can tell you, when I was, 7 years old, that I remember the first snowflake in North Florida, 1989, and you would have thought that it was the apocalypse. People were running out to you at that time, Wilson's Leather Goods and every fur factory you could find. And I always wondered, like, it's so cold, we're freezing it. And now here, flash forward all these years, I live in Wisconsin. You see me now. I don't even know how to dress for winter. I could walk outside in shorts and a hoodie and people look at me sideways when it's 24 degrees. But Buffalo is really in for it. I said, they're projecting what could be close to 6 feet of snow.
Isn't that insane? It's really even hard to wrap your brain around just how much that is. And because it's going to happen over such a short period of time. Although again, this, you know, these people have been through to this rodeo many times before, but they moved the football game. Because they were, the Buffalo was supposed to play on Sunday, and I think they moved it to Cleveland.
You know, that's, well, that's unfortunate. Of all places you have to go, we have to go to Cleveland. Like, at least take us to Miami. Take us someplace warmer to give us, you know, give us some kind of relief knowing that we have to go home to Buffalo. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, you think about the things that are interrupted when we have heavy snowfall here in Wisconsin. I can't imagine if we said, hey, folks, hey, Waukesha, over the next 24 hours, we're going to get about 5 feet.
Right.
5 feet of wet and heavy stuff.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
I panic already when I see that we're going to get, you know, it could be 6 or 7 inches, you know, over multiple storms over a couple of days. Because I'm thinking about the middle of the night. I don't want to go out there and push the blower again and then have to get up again at 5 a.m. or 5:30 and do it again, knowing that the plow is going to come through and seal my driveway in the front of my house off again. And then it's going to freeze. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why am I even leaving? Just go back to bed.
But so CNN is reporting that by this morning, 3 feet of snow had already fallen in Orchard Park, which is home of the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Mayor Brian Brown said today, I want to be very clear, this is not your normal snowfall in the city of Buffalo. Talking about the 4 to 5 feet coming in, this is a snowstorm with potentially deadly consequences if people do not do things the right way. And I would think that's going to include, you're going to have to go out and do some clearing, because otherwise you're not going to be able to open your door.
No, it conjures those images for me of when I would search for Buffalo snow winter, because I would compare, when I first moved here, I compared Wisconsin to Buffalo. I'm like, these are cold places. You know, upstate New York and Wisconsin, being from Florida, all we were ever told was that if you live in those two places, you live like on a big prairie or a dairy farm covered in ice or an iceberg or the icy tundra, something like that. So I would find all these images where people were literally having to carve their way out of their front door.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you don't think about, you think about, you know, 5 feet of snow falling, 6 feet of snow falling and setting someplace. But then you get the wind and the snow drift and what's fallen off your house or what's been already moved by some vehicle to clear out the roads and for safety reasons. I can't imagine. You know, you see all those folks that are like, let me go upstairs to my second floor, climb out the window and start shoveling from there.
Yeah, from the top down.
I'm not built for that, Jane. I'm just letting you know right now.
I most people are not built for that. And this is going to be, too, this isn't like that nice, white, fluffy, lovely stuff. This is going to be because it's lake effect snow, and we deal with that in Milwaukee.
That's right.
And, or, you know, parts of Wisconsin all the time. So it's that very moisture-ridden heart attack snow that you're going to have to do it in layers, because I don't even know how, you know, your own snowblower can only handle so much, and especially when it's that heavy.
Well, you start thinking about the secondary things. You know, right now in my garage, we have not had to use a snowblower yet because we didn't use it that much last season.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the season, we drain the fuel out, so it's going to clear it. I have not put gas back in it. I said, I can't imagine those people like, well, you know, we've got enough to get through. Well, if with 5 or 6 feet, how many passes do you have to make? I mean, because you're going through it. I mean, I don't think I have anything. I think our, you know, really big, really nice, you know, the big red Toro snowblower can push 28 inches. And that's like really a stretch. It's really like,
yeah, that's asking a lot. Inches. Yeah,
it is, because you're moving very slowly at that point.
Absolutely.
And that's not fun.
No.
And, you know, then you see the folks that are out there, like you said, the heart attacks waiting to happen, trying to use a shovel. I got to clear the top 36 inches off before I can get to the bottom. And then I always hate the parts there. You get to the bottom and you're like, oh, it's been down here long enough. It's ice.
Yes.
It's solid. I can't do anything with this.
Well, hopefully, because we're going to warm up now. We're going to have a real cold weekend. It's going to be really, really chilly today, tomorrow. And I think finally on Sunday, it starts warming up a little bit. And then into the early part of next week, we might get back into the upper 30s, lower 40s, which is probably a little bit closer to normal around here.
That's right.
And so hopefully that same kind of warming will be heading western part of New York and Buffalo way. So all that stuff doesn't just turn into one big snow sculpture for the rest of the season.
That's exactly right. So everybody here listening on the radio waves, wherever you are this weekend, have a drink, have a toast for Buffalo, and say a little prayer and hope that we don't get any of that this winter. I know the Snowmageddon is real. I know that what we call those, what was it called, Jane? The term we had.
Shoot.
For all the ice and the snow cold winter.
Oh, gosh darn it. I'm drawing a complete blank, Philip, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, everybody that's listening knows what I'm talking about, too. Whatever that was, we don't want that again.
let's not have that.
That's right.
That would be bad. Yeah, they're talking The most snow than Buffalo, more snow than Buffalo has seen in 20 years.
Wow.
The city's highest three-day snowfall is 56.1 inches, and that happened in December of 2001. So,
oh my gosh.
Again, I know they've dealt with a lot of snow in the past, but this is going to be a doozy. So I'm sure they'll all be looking out for each other, looking out for the helpers, and for the most part, you know, staying home and buckling down and staying warm.
Yeah, that's, you know, as I say, it said fill your pantry and get the things that you need. I don't know if it's better to have a car or park on the street, because if they're, you got to dig one out either way.
Don't put it on the street. That's not going to be good.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? We're going to take it here to the break. And, you know, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin here on 101 FM, The Shaw.
Weather outside is frightful, but that fire is delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought lots of corn for popping. The lights are way down low, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow,
let it snow.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll only hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
Fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still...
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe. Giraffe. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov.
/ the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD.